You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. Imagine stirring a cup of coffee, swinging a hammer, or catching a tennis ball, things that we take for granted. But imagine if you did all of this with a prosthetic arm and looking pretty natural doing it, too. Well, now it's possible with a surgical technique that allows patients to move an artificial arm in lots of different ways to do these things just by thinking about them. Think, for example, about clenching a key in your hand or pinching your thumb and your index finger together in that OK sign. Well, both of these are distinct, refined movements, and it's not an easy task to translate those thoughts into motion with an artificial arm. Joining me now to talk about how they do it, research out this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, is my guest, Dr. Todd Kuiken. He is director of the Neural Engineering Center for Artificial Limbs at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. He joined us by the phone. Welcome to Science Friday.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We also have some video footage of one of your patients doing some of these things. If people want to see it at sciencefriday.com, they're more than welcome to surf over there. Tell us how you did this, Dr. Kuiken.
Well, there's two parts to this study. The first is that we have moved the nerves that used to control an arm to different muscles in the body and use these muscles as biological amplifiers, if you will. So imagine a patient with a shoulder disarticulation. My colleague, Dr. Gregory Demanyan, a surgeon, went into the arm, found the nerves that used to go to the arm, and then transferred them onto the chest muscles of our one patient. The nerves then grow into these muscles, and when the patient thinks close hand, now a little piece of his chest muscle contracts. If he thinks bend elbow, a different piece of his chest muscle contracts. And we can detect those contractions because every time you use a muscle, it lets off a little bit of electricity. So we pick up that electricity with electrodes or little antennas sitting on the skin. And we've been successful with this technique using commercially available arms in quite a number of patients to be able to control hand opening, closing, and elbow bending. The second part of the study, and what this paper is about, is now decoding those signals more. So if you think about it, the nerve that closes your hand actually does lots of things. It bends your fingers, it moves your thumb, it bends your wrists. And so what we've done is using those antennas and a computer decoding program called pattern recognition, we can determine the intent of the amputee to do more things. So they think about bend their wrist, we can recognize that wrist flexion pattern and make the artificial wrist bend. They think about doing a fine pinch, using their thumb and first finger to pick up a small object. Well, now we can recognize that they want to be doing a fine pinch versus a power grasp for holding a baseball bat and go into different modes with the hand.
So you had to define what the signals were for each of these fine movements and then get a computerized control of them with the hand.
Correct. So what we do is first train the program. We have all these antennas or electrodes on the skin, and we ask the patient to try and do these different movements. Bend your wrist, make an OK sign, bend your elbow, et cetera.
Think about them.
Well, it's more than thinking about it. It's actually they're trying to do it. So you can sit there and think and not move your arm.
Right.
You can think about it. But when you actually try and do it, you make your muscles contract. So they're actually trying to do this and making their newly reinnervated muscles contract. So as they do this series of movements, we record the data, and then the computer program sorts it out and tries to figure out which pattern goes with which movement. It's a lot similar to the technology used for voice recognition, for example. So once we can figure out what pattern or what movement they're trying to do, then we can have the prosthesis do that movement.
Does it become second nature after a while? Or do you have to continually say, I need to do this, I need to do that?
Well, you definitely get better at it. So compared to current technology where you just use whatever muscles are left to operate your arm, it's a big improvement. So with an above elbow amputee, for example, you can use your biceps and triceps muscles to control everything. And it works pretty good for the elbow. That's natural. but it's not real natural to then have to use those muscles to control your hand. You don't flex your biceps to try and close your hand. Here, we're at least letting the person do the natural motion, try and do the natural motion to make the arm move. Now, it's a long way still from the ability of using our real arms and our real hands, but it's a marked step forward for the science.
And how many separate movements can you do now?
Well, we so far have demonstrated with the real arms that a patient can control shoulder out, shoulder up, rotating the arm, and those are done with some complex switches as well as EMG signals. And then the reinnervated muscles can control elbow bending, wrist bending and extending, wrist rotation, and up to four or five different hand grasp patterns.
And it's so accurate that you can play ball with.
Well, no. No, it's
it looked like that. It looked like that on the video.
Yeah, so. you can do some good things, like you could throw a ball.
Right.
Okay, but you sure ain't going to catch one very easily.
Yeah. Can you get to that refinement?
Well, that would be a wonderful goal, but that's a real hard one, because to have really fluid motion, you need to be able to feel your arm in space. And these prostheses have no ability to feel their arm in space. We do have some related science where we get the hand sensation nerves to grow into new skin. So, for example, the chest skin. Mm-hmm. So that when you touch these patients on their chest, they feel like you're touching their missing hand. And that's some exciting work that may allow us to get, you know, the ability to know when you've grabbed a cup or how hard you're squeezing it, and also be very important to make the arm feel like it's really your arm. So that cutaneous sensation is exciting, but we're still missing what we call proprioception, or the ability to know where your arm is in space.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get a couple of calls in here. 1-800-989-8255. Thomas in Flagstaff. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You guys keep saying that the patients think about moving the prosthetic. What's the level of thinking? For example, when I grab my keys, I don't think, okay, now my index finger and thumb are going to grab my keys. Do you understand my question?
Yes, sir. So in going down to pick up a cup, you just pick up the cup. Well, our patient still has to think about how to position their arm one at a time. So you have to think, okay, I want to straighten my elbow out, and you watch them straighten out the elbow, and then I need to open my hand, and they think about opening your hand, and then I need to rotate my wrist a little bit to line it up with the cup, and they do that, and then they think I'm going to just close it with a power grasp. Okay.
Wow, that's amazing.
They have, but, you know, as opposed to you really not thinking about it, you reflexively almost do it. They do have to position each movement and watch it to close the loop, because they can't feel it.
Wonderful. Right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And, you know, the arm and the hand looks very real to life also.
Yeah,
do you work on that at the same time?
Well, the arms were created by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency program. So DECA. One was built by DECA Research Corporation, mm-hmm. and the other is being built at a program at Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. So they are truly pieces of art and engineering.
Mm-hmm. And what about other limbs? I guess the arm and certainly the hand must be the most difficult of all the body limbs to be working on.
Well, we don't do as well as we do with legs. Patients who've missed who are missing a leg, we do better with prostheses. They aren't as complicated in terms of the dexterity of movement. That's not to say that there isn't room for improvement, but we don't do nearly as well with artificial arms. In fact, only about half of people who have one arm amputated bother to wear a prosthesis, because it's not good enough as they currently exist to make it worth the while of putting it on and having that weight and all that, carrying it around.
But now with this new kind, this new type that gives you so much more movement, do you think more people will demand this?
I hope so. I hope people – I consider it a success if more people want to wear and use the arm, if it's of value, it's good enough to be used. And we're seeing that. Again, it's still small and early, but in the – regular prostheses that we've modified to use the targeted reinnervation so far, the feedback is very good.
But this is not something paid for by insurance, is it?
Well, regular arms, motorized arms with hands and elbows are usually paid for by insurance. And now at the Rehab Institute of Chicago and Northwestern University, we can do this surgery to allow a person to use a regular arm better. In terms of these very advanced prototypes that you see on the video, those are still in the research phase. Those are still being developed through the DARPA program, and we hope to see versions of these arms make it to the market to help our wounded warriors and the rest of the public.
Talk about a stimulus project here. You could create a lot of jobs doing that.
Well,
couldn't
maybe.
You? Well, the people who have
going
to
at it even before the economy tanked.
But in making it available to more people who couldn't afford it and not covered by insurance yet until it does get it covered.
Works for me.
1-800-989-8255. Collins in Milford, Delaware. Hi, Collins.
Hello. I want to say this sounds just absolutely wonderful, the work you're doing. What I'm really curious about, it would seem like, and I know nothing about the complexity of the technology you're working with or how much more complicated what I'm about to suggest would get, but is there application or possibility of application for this for work with paralysis?
No, and I wish it were, because there's a lot of people who get paralyzed arms from nerve injury. But what we need is for the nerve to be intact, because the nerve is essentially the data channel that we get all the information from. And if the nerve is damaged, it's like having the cord to your phone cut, and it just won't work.
Mm-hmm. So you could not go down below, just speaking off the top of my head, the damaged site where the nerves may still be working?
Well, nerves are like phone cords. If they're broken in the middle, then they just don't work.
Right.
Yeah. They don't work beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the amputee, it works from the neck down to where it was cut, and we can use that portion that's left and swing it over to a new amplifier.
Mm-hmm. And you work with lower limb amputees also?
Yes, we do.
And they as you say, they don't pose as much of a challenge.
We do better, especially with people who've lost their leg below the knee. The prostheses have gotten much better over the last 20, 30 years with lighter materials, more energy-storing materials, and more comfortable materials. We still would like to have better control and power for legs because, you know, our muscles are down there for a good reason, and we would like to replace that lost movement. But we do, relative to arms, we do better because you can essentially walk on a passive device fairly well.
Yeah.
We are excited about moving this EMG or this muscle signal technology into legs and working with colleagues at Vanderbilt University and MIT who are developing motorized legs and to control them better.
Talking with Dr. Todd Kuiken on Science Friday from NPR News. So where do you go from here? Just improving or expanding your work?
Oh, I don't think I have to worry about retiring soon. We have lots of improvements to make control system more robust so that, you know, right now the patient has to think, okay, I'm going to bend my wrist, but they have to remember to bend it the same way they did last time. And so you have to train the patient as well. So we need to get our computer programs more robust and get our training down and our interfaces better. And then the motorized devices need to be refined. They need more work to get down to a more acceptable weight and robustness that can withstand a patient. Patients are very hard on these devices.
I'll bet.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dr. Kuiken, for taking time to be with us.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck to you. Dr. Todd Kuiken is director of the Neural Engineering Center for Artificial Limbs at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago.